Was anybody else distracted by that ladybug or fly that was on the Y up there? I was reading those songs, and all of a sudden, my ADD kicks in. I'm like reading it. I'm like singing. I said, hey, look, fly, look. Hey, I wonder if that's a fly or one of those, like, ladybugs. Ladybugs. Never mind. And then, like, a few minutes later, I was singing, and all of a sudden, the word three-peat comes up there, or three times, and I'm singing that. Three times. So I don't go there. All right. Mark chapter 3. It's all, we can laugh. We can enjoy our time in the house of God. If it's all serious all the time, then God's not, that's not the God I know. Amen? Because he said laughter, amen, is a medicine. Amen? It's a medicine to your bones. That means it gets down in deep. Sometimes you need a good old belly laugh. Yes, I mean, even a yes, most of all, at yourself. Sometimes you got to laugh and enjoy life and laugh about things, even when you want to cry. Amen? Does that help? Mark chapter 3. What did I tell y'all, Luke? Mark. It's Mark chapter 3. Get it straight. Mark chapter 3. Y'all excited about being here tonight? It's Tuesday night? Man, I am. I love to learn. I love to learn the Word of God. I love to hear the Word of God. And I seen this today. And yesterday, just kind of mulling this over, and there's a thankfulness in here. Can I tell y'all two things I'm thankful for? One, Lee Malin. Man, the other day he came in here, and he's trying to fix something outside, and he fixed it in 5 minutes. And I showed him that door. I said, hey, whenever you get a chance, 2 days later, the man, he worked on it harder than the thing he came up here to work for in the first place. So when you tell him, the next time you see him, say thank you, because he tore those doors apart and that whole thing. I mean, he had them all on the floor and tore stuff apart and had to put it back together. It was an amazing thing, and I'm glad he did it because I'm incapable. But he did that. I'm thankful for that. And Rick and Sharon, man, I mean, I don't think y'all, I mean, y'all know, but I'm learning how much stuff they do around here. But, man, I called them on the spur of the notice. I got somebody that needs to be baptized. And then, you know, of course, I follow up a couple times. We need this, we need that. And they're like, it's done. Leave me alone. No, they didn't say that part. But they've got towels and robes and garbage bags. So, I mean, it's like NASCAR stuff back here. If you've ever been back there, it's like you got a bag for your clothes, a bag for their stuff, the towels and the robes, and you've got changing area, you've got a towel. I mean, it's... I feel like Superman when I'm back there, because, like, I mean, I'm back out here in the parking lot. People are like, what are you doing? All right, y'all good? God. Hope y'all ready. Mark chapter 3. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Let's read that again. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Kind of go back to Sunday morning's message. Who is this Jesus, kind of? Jesus entered in the synagogue. How awesome is that? God in your church. See, before this, you couldn't get close to God. Amen? Jesus, okay, God made a tabernacle. He gave the blueprint to Moses to make the tabernacle, but then only the holiest priest, the high priest, could enter into the tabernacle. The holiest of holies. Amen? But then Jesus came to earth, and the holiest of holies then would enter into synagogues or temples. The God Himself would come in and make Himself accessible to people. My God. He was giving us a glimpse that you wouldn't have to be holier, you wouldn't have to be a high priest, because the high priest would come to you. And he would get together with his people as the high priest, and he would have a relationship with believers. Man, ain't that cool? I don't know about you, but when I read the Word of God, I'm amazed. I would be blown away if Jesus would walk in to our church. I mean, I'm talking about walk in here and say, Can I teach? Can I preach? I wonder sometimes if we would let Him. I wonder if we'd let him. You know he's got long hair, right? He's got a beard. And he wears like a tunic, which I mean, he had to have sandals on. And if he was to come in here, we would have to then, you know, debate whether he fit our kind of mold that we would allow him to teach. But would we? I hope we would. I hope we wouldn't be so pharisaical. I hope we wouldn't be so dogmatic. I hope we wouldn't be so religious that we wouldn't let Jesus in the pulpit. Because I'm telling you, there'd be a lot of churches who would say, you don't meet what we're doing. I don't think it would be accessible for you to get into our pulpit, God, the only begotten Son of God, because you don't look like us, talk like us, walk like us, so I don't think you would fit our mold. How scary would that be? I wonder how many churches Jesus could get in today if he was to come back physically. It would be very few, I agree. You know what he does? He does something amazing, though. By the end of the New Testament, Jesus, there is no longer an opportunity for you to go into the holiest of holies. And there's no longer an opportunity for Jesus to come into your sanctuary as the holiest of holies come into your sanctuary. Ooh. But guess what? The holiest of holies gets in you. What? By the end of the New Testament, the holiest of holies, Jesus Christ, by form of the Holy Spirit, now dwells in you. That thing that they used to go into to get close to God got into you. It got into the church. Aren't you glad that He got into us? We didn't get into Him. Somebody said, how do you know that Jesus loves you? Because He got into me. When He gets into you, He wrecks you. He changes you. He turns your world upside down. And if that don't happen, if you don't feel that, you don't see that, you don't understand that, you need to re-engage God and come to Him and say, I want that. There's nothing wrong with coming back to God and saying, I want that relationship. I want that conviction over sin. I want that change. I've been in too many times where I've sat with somebody and somebody said, well, I made a profession back in the day. I love profession, but more than profession, I love possession. I'll say it slower. I love possession. Because when God possesses you, He then steers your life and molds you and makes you and takes you. Is that correct? Molds you, makes you, and takes you. How many of you have been taken by God? I'm talking about God took my life. Did anybody else have some plans in here? Golly, I had some plans. When I got saved, I had plans. Matter of fact, I told my wife, I said, we're not going to get too radical, babe. Don't worry. We're not going to get too far into this. Don't worry. We're going to go to church, because we'd never done that before. We're going to just go to church and we'll just, you know, just be church people now. God's like, I can hear Him from heaven. That's a good one. You're just going to be church people. Matter of fact, no, you're going to be my people. And I'm going to take you all over the place. And I'm going to take you through doors and opportunities and places. And I'm going to scare you and excite you. I'm going to take you to the top and to the bottom. I'm going to make you happy. I'm going to let you be so broken and mad and sad. Some of y'all didn't like when I just said that. I'm going to let you be so broken, mad, and sad. You don't like when I said that, did you? But guess what? God doesn't mind sometimes for you to be mad. Matter of fact, He told Jonah, He said, it does you well to be mad. Just sit there and enjoy that madness. Amen? You know why He told Jonah that? Because Jonah was mad over something that didn't matter compared to what really matters. See, he was looking at Nineveh, and he was upset over a gourd. You know what that gourd represents? I'm going to kick somebody's tires in tonight. You know what that gourd represented? It represented his church. Shut your mouth. It did. See, God grew this little gourd up over his head to block him from the sun. It was a place that he was spiritual and he was righteous and he could come into and be comfortable and relax while he watched the rest of the world pass away. He had a good view of watching Nineveh from his little building, just dissolve away. And he was sitting up there and he's like, man, I can't wait till you just call down the fire of God. I can't wait till you destroy him and I got a front row seat. But God destroyed the gourd. My God, I'm preaching. I don't even know his name. He destroyed the gourd before he destroyed Nineveh. And guess what Jonah did? He was brokenhearted over the gourd. Oh God, let me die. I'm so upset. You let this gourd, and it was a beautiful gourd, and it was, man, it was a great purpose, and you let it die. And God said, you're upset over the wrong thing. You're not upset about the men, women, and children, and even the cattle of Nineveh are going to die, and you're worried about a little gourd. God, I didn't even know I was going to preach. That's bonus. Guess what? We get worried about temporal stuff and we're not worried about eternal stuff, and we're definitely not worried about souls so much sometimes. It's so important to me. What's important to God is the people you see every day. That's what's important to God. That's more important than anything to God, is souls. We can make it about everything else, but that's what God sees. Y'all ready? Y'all excited? That's half a verse. We only got seven more to go. Well, actually, we got another half. And there was a man there which had a withered hand. And remember, I told you Sunday that sometimes the healing, no, every time the healing had a spiritual and a physical connotation. God could hear some people in my past say, why did Jesus handle that withered man's hand? Was there any more important things to do? Y'all can say amen if that would be good. Or shout or say you're right or whatever. Just move on. You know what I'm talking about? There's times where I've said, God moved in a mighty way and he did this. He did a miraculous thing. And I've had people in my life go, why was God worried about that? Why didn't he go down and heal the cancer ward? Steam out of ears. I could see it. I could feel it. God's doing this amazing thing in my life. Oh yeah? Well, why didn't he go down and go in the nursing home and cure everybody down there instead of worrying about your little deal? You might want to write this down because it's newsflash. God is not healing and doing miracles to get some kind of level to meet somebody else's qualifications. God's doing that to show himself God in the little things and the big things and everything in between. Amen? And we don't get to pick what God's going to heal and God's going to touch and God's going to show out in. We just got to, when he does, we just say, God's good. Amen? And when he doesn't move, we say this, God's even better. Amen? Because sometimes we forget. God didn't save us. He didn't save us through a miracle. He saved us through what he did at Calvary. He'll never do a miracle that you'll live eternally here. He'll do a miracle that you might get a couple of extra years here, but you're eventually going to heaven. And that's the miracle. That's the whole thing. Amen? But can we go back to preach that withered thing? I like that withered. He had the physical is he got a withered hand. I just picture this. He's got this one hand that's, you know, just big, strong, full of strength hand, and he's got another hand that's just withered away, and it's like it don't even exist. It's like it don't exist, and when you look at it, you can't ever see it being anything productive or anything that can reach or anything that can pick up or anything that can hand out. Amen? You just can't see it. When you see it, you say, man, that's never going to be anything. And that's the whole crux of this message tonight. For Thanksgiving is thank God when he looked at my life when he first saved me and he seen me as a withered man or a withered person and I was up to no good, and compared to everybody else I was shrunken back and weak and I couldn't reach and I couldn't touch and I couldn't hand out and I was not very functional. Were you ever withered? Spiritually, were you ever withered? I was. Man, everybody else was developed, and I was withered away spiritually. And I would go in and try to show out like them, but that was just an act. Anybody else go to church and act? Hey, man, I knew what to do. It's like a roller coaster ride. I knew where to get on. I knew when to raise my hands. I knew when to shout, and I knew when to get off. Is that all right to say church is like a roller coaster or something? Amen. You know what's bad about that roller coaster ride sometimes? You come back and you start. You come back right to where you started from. You're just excited. Nothing's really changed. Your adrenaline's just changed. That's a real deep message right there. But I'm just saying, that withered hand, I seen myself. When I read this scripture, I seen myself just withered away. And I could see people looking at me going, man, he'll never do anything. He ain't worth nothing. She ain't worth nothing. She'll never do anything. She'll never amount to anybody. There ain't nothing in her hand worth giving to nobody. Won't ever reach nobody. Won't ever touch nobody. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't care if I did or not. Did you? I was worried about maybe the only thing with that withered hand I wanted to receive. What can I get? Amen. But God comes along. Amen. Have you ever done that? Can I preach this in a little bit different aspect and look at it this way? Have you ever looked at somebody else and forgot where you come from? I think Kenneth Allen said it earlier. I got to remember where I come from. Have you ever looked at somebody else and thought to yourself that they are too far, or too bad, or too messed up, or too different, or too wrong? I have. I've got in a situation where I've sat in a place and I looked around and I said, man, this is messed up. This is totally chaotic. This is totally toxic. Oh, man, I wonder where God is in this. I wonder if these people even know. And all of a sudden it hits me. This was you. This is you. And this was me looking into your life. Share the truth. Pray. Love. And guess what? God can do a lot of things. How many of you, when God found you, you were withered away, but after He found you and after He changed you, all of a sudden He started growing you and making you different than you ever thought that you would be just as capable as the other hands. Man, just as capable as the other hands in the house of God. Man, I see myself and I see other people. And I remind myself, oh man, they might be jacked up now, but man, that might be one of God's superstars right there. That might be somebody, if God gets a hold of them, oh my goodness, they will turn the world upside down. They will make so much of a difference that in 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, when you see them, you won't even recognize them. You'll be sitting there going, who is that? Was that the guy? Was that the guy? Was that the girl? The camp was so out of balance, was so upside down. Was she on drugs? Was he on drugs? Was he alive? Was he remember? And it'll be so good and so different that when they see you later on, they'll have a hard time remembering that was you. And other people, when they come in here, they'll look at you and say, man, I don't know if I can ever be as good as you, brother. Sis, I don't know if I can ever be as good as you. That's when you say, let me tell you a story. I look like I got it all together now. I've kind of grown. I've got some strength. I'm working, I'm operating, I'm handing out, I'm receiving, I'm doing all this stuff. But guess what? One day, I walked in here, and I was just as withered as you are. I was just as grown up as you are. I was just as useless as you are right now, or as you feel. Amen? Aren't y'all good? Ain't this good? And this ain't even where we want to preach from. This is just one verse. It was a good point, though. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. The title of this message is, Watch Me. Watch Me. Jesus was in the synagogue, and there was a man who had a withered hand, and he caught Jesus' eye. Amen? And they watched him. Who? I like to call him those mint farmers. No, the cumin farmers. You know you don't need a combine on a mint farm. Some of y'all looking at me like I look at you sometimes. A combine, you don't, mint and cumin are just, you garnish your meals with those, amen? Herbs, somebody said it. Thank you, saved my life. It's an herb, amen? And herb gardens are very small. And God said, there's some people that are watching you that are very critical of you, and they're herb farmers. I love herb farmers watching me. I do. You know why? Because they're worried about all the little things, and they miss the big things. They're upset, tore up, mad because they think you're going to do what you've always been doing for God. And they're going to sit there mad and upset and frustrated. And guess what? Let them sit there and let them watch. Let them sit there and let them watch. They're sitting there and they're all mad and upset. And they're like looking at the withered hand man. And they're looking at Jesus. They're like, I wonder if he's going to touch him. You know it's the Sabbath, and he's not supposed to break the Sabbath. You're not supposed to help people on the Sabbath. And they're upset, and they're wondering if Jesus is going to do what he does. Write this down. Always do what you know to do right before God. Always glorify God. Always. Not sometimes. Always. Especially when your worst critics are watching. Don't let them see you stop. Don't let them see you quit. Don't let them see you give in. Just do it anyway. As they're sitting there with their snarled up face and their mad attitude, and they're going to give, and guess what? You just do it anyway. You just preach anyway. You just teach anyway. You just sing anyway. You just praise anyway. You just do it anyway. Just do it anyway. Don't matter. He said, there's a man in here withered. He's drawn up. If I was going to worry about what people thought about me, then I wouldn't have got into ministry. I wouldn't even have came down here if I was going to worry about what people thought. So yeah, he touched him. Amen? So yeah, he touched him. Watch me. If Jesus can do it, you can do it. You ain't here. Write this down. Some of y'all need to know this. You're not here to please everybody. You're not here to make everybody happy. You're not here to make everybody smile. You're not here to please everybody's situation. You're here to glorify God. And if that is what you're here for, then do that. The people thing will work itself out. I've known this for a long time. If I get this right, this will work out. Because if I'm living pleasing to God, then this relationship thing with people will work out. Because there's going to be a lot of times people are going to be mad at you because you didn't do what they thought you should do. Instead, you did what God wanted you to do. Sometimes it's better for you not to do anything than to do something that God didn't want you to do. I just kicked somebody's tires. Somebody just got set free on that thing right there. I felt that. Sometimes it's better not to do anything than to do something that God didn't give you. Y'all want an example? I'll give you one. It's a good one. Me and my wife, right in the middle of our ministry, was preaching everywhere, doing all things. Our church at that time come to me and said, we want you to be over the youth. And I was like, yay, no. I mean, I love youth. I do. But that's not me. I preach to everybody. Amen? I didn't ever have a title, youth pastor. I ain't nothing wrong with youth pastor. Don't get me wrong. If you're dealing with youth, do it. It wasn't for me. I said, I'm going to preach to everybody. I'm an equal opportunity offender. Amen? Old, young, and everybody in between. So listen, they said, oh, but will you do it? And for some reason, I feel obligated because I never said no to anything. I had more keys than a janitor. Amen? You'll drive a van? Yeah, I only live 50 miles away. Takes me 50 minutes to get here. Takes you 3. Sure, give me the keys to the van. I don't mind driving. You want to run youth? Yeah, takes me 50 miles to get here. Then I got to drive the bus, go get everybody, come back. Yeah, I don't mind. Right? Well, you don't mind doing a snack. You mind doing Wednesday service. You don't mind preaching Sunday night. You don't mean going on the road and doing revival. You don't mind going up to the nursing home and preaching. Yes! I want to do it all. God. Guess what? I'm standing out there on a Sunday night. Or Wednesday night. What is it? It was one night. One of those nights. It's been so long. And all of a sudden, I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, the kid said, what you got? What you got, Kevin? I looked at him, I said, nothing. Nothing. And that scares the daylights out of me. They're like, what? I said, I've had a message every day, every time, everywhere I went to preach since the day I've been called to preach. I am not supposed to be out here. I love y'all. This is not where I'm supposed to be. And I love them kids, yeah. I minister to those kids. I minister to those kids still to this day. There's some still kids I still talk to today. But guess what? That was not where I was supposed to operate. So guess what I do? Well, big news flash. I go to the pastor and I say, man, this is too much for us. We can't do that. He said, okay, I'll get so-and-so. They want to do it. Was it that simple? Was it that easy? Yes, but you're not anointed if you say no, are you? You're not anointed if you make people mad, are you? Sometimes you just got to look at people and say, I'm sorry, but I can't please you. I'm trying to please God. And if I please Him, it's going to get all right with you. And if it don't, that's your problem, not mine. He saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. Hey, some of y'all got to realize this. You're not going to get unwithered. You're not going to have that thing change in your life unless you come to God. It's fine to come to church, but you got to come to God. You can't just keep coming to church and not come to God. You come to church, and it's good, but you got to get in tune. You got to get in a relationship with God, because guess what? Eventually, you can keep coming to church, and guess what? You'll just get in a routine of coming to church, and there won't be no God thing in it. You'll come, and you'll kind of hide out in the church. And if you hide out in the church and you're not got the real thing, eventually you'll get numb to it, or you'll be callous to it. And see, God wants you tender-hearted. He wants you to bend every time He wants you to bend. He wants you to cry every time He wants you to cry. He wants you to shout every time you shout. See, that's what God wants from you. He don't want you to come here and just say, I go to church, because guess what? The church has got to get in you. You know what scares me sometimes? When God starts to move on me and I kind of make him an excuse, well, I just don't know, but I push through that every time. I'm like, forget that. I'd rather y'all think I'm crazy, I'm foolish, I would rather you be like, why is a pastor? I'm there crying before God. Has he got a bunch of junk in his life? Yeah. You want the second part of that, though? I'll leave all the junk up there. The difference is you're going to kick yours on over the house. You're going to pack yours in the pack. You're going to take yours back in the car. Guess what I'm going to do with mine? I'm going to leave it here. I'm going to leave it here. Every chance I get, I'm going to dump it out and leave it here. Got to come forth. Verse 4. And he said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. Hypocrites always hold their peace when you ask them straight up truths. Straight up truths, not made up truths, straight up truths. Ask them. He said, is it lawful for me to do good on the Sabbath day? And you know what? Those that were in their heart, this is wrong, I shouldn't be doing it, I don't look it, it's against our customs, it's against all we do around here. Is it wrong? Not a word, not a peep. Not a peep. That makes God aggravated. I'll show it in the verse it does. Can I show y'all something about the Pharisees? You want me to show you something about them? It's pretty cool. One time they came to the Pharisees, or they came to the disciples. Sometimes they attacked Jesus' disciples, and sometimes they attacked him. So you should take note there. Sometimes he'll attack you, sometimes he'll attack God. You know what I'm saying? So one time they were all eating, and Jesus, they come up to Jesus and said, I got a question for you, Mr. Rabbi. Why are your disciples, why are they not fasting and pray like we do? Well, that's a deep question, ain't it? He got them, didn't he? The Pharisees got Jesus. Why aren't they fasting? This time to fast, why aren't they fasting? Well, can I ask you a question? Why do you fast? Oh, I'll answer it. Since I'm not going to get any volunteers. It's to get closer to God. When you fast, what you're saying is, God, my flesh is not as important as my spirit, man. And I'm going to set my food aside and my water aside, and I'm going to just focus on you where I can get close to you, and you can give me an answer, or you can help me nudge in the right way. God, I'm going to fast, and I'm going to leave my flesh behind, and I'm going to get connected to you, to the spirit. Why in the world would you fast if you're sitting with God having a meal? Ain't that cool, Sharon? Didn't that just ring the bell? Ain't that awesome? Well, we would fast to get a hold of God, but He's kind of sitting here with us, and it'd be rude. God, I'm going to put my food aside, and I'm just going to pray to you and seek you. And Jesus is like, I'm sitting out here. Amen? Because, can I break this down even further, just a couple more levels? Because if you're fasting or praying or doing anything else for somebody else's benefit, then you might not even recognize that God's sitting at the very table, and you're asking questions why people aren't fasting and praying and doing the things that you're doing. But guess what? God's moving in their life and sitting at their table and worshiping with them, and you wouldn't even recognize it because you're wondering why they ain't doing what you're doing. Because you're doing what you're doing for everybody else to see what you're doing. God's good. I wish somebody had taught this stuff to me when I was young. I'm serious. I wish that was somebody to put this in my... Because guess what? It's hard to get a hold of God when He's sitting with you. Why aren't you sad, brother? Why aren't you broken? Because God's here. Amen? He's sitting right there. Can't get no closer than that. Love this. Aren't you glad the Word of God is the way it is? They didn't say a word. Verse 5, I told you I'd show you. And when he looked around about on them with... It made him mad. Jesus, no, hypocrites don't only make you mad, they make God mad. He looked at him, he's like, is it all right if I do good on the Sabbath day? They didn't answer him, it made God mad. He's like, oh, you got something to say about everything. Unless I ask you straight up truths, amen? Remember that one time they came to you, we want you to tell us whether you're God or not. I'll tell you everything if you tell me one thing. Okay, what is it? Go ahead, Jack. We'll tell you. The baptism of John the Baptist, was it of God or was it of man? If we say it is of God, then why didn't we partake of it? But if we say that it was not of God, that most people thought John the Baptist was a prophet, and we'll make them mad. So you know what they did? We don't know. We can't say. Never mind, I thought that's cool. Ain't that neat? People that are so critical of everything you do, when you hold them right down to it, they can't answer a question about things. What in the world? Just dead silence and God's angry. But guess what? It gets better right here. He saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Who cares what the hypocrites are doing? If you're getting made whole, keep walking past them. Keep coming to church despite of them. Keep worse. They're going to say and do what they're going to do. I just keep coming anyway. Because guess what? There's hypocrites in every walk of life. At the job, at the bar, at the club, at the gym. They're everywhere. Man, in Hollywood, in politics. Hypocrites everywhere. Praise God, just keep on. If you've been made whole and you've been restored, praise God, and you've been, the other one's as good as the other, you just say, hey, focus on what's working, not on what's not working. Can I give y'all a litmus test for Pharisees? Y'all ain't going to like this. Y'all ready for it? Talk to them and say, what's the most important thing about the church? If they list anything but souls and people, bingo. Y'all got to take that up again. Not me. Don't be mad at me. Amen? Carpet. The paint. The wall. The ceiling. The gym. The chairs. The souls. The children. The adults. The women. The men. The broken. The addicted. The liar. The thief. We're going to use everything we've got. And if it all gets broke down, praise God, God will give us some more of it. Amen, preacher, that's good, preacher. Anyway, I hate amen to myself sometimes. Are y'all mad at me? Because if you are, I don't know if I can bear it. Let's go. Verse 6, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians again of him that they might destroy. Man, we're going to stop right there. You know what they did? Right in the middle of the sanctuary. Right in the middle of the tabernacle. On the Sabbath. Scott, come get ready to get us home. Please. Right in the middle of the tabernacle. Right in the middle of the sanctuary. They didn't agree with what Jesus was doing, but Jesus stood up and he had the man with the withered hand to stand up. And the next thing you know, the man that with the withered hand, the man who was withered, is now whole. We're getting to see souls saved. We're getting to see lives changed. We're getting to see Christians grow more than they've ever grown before. I've got people tell me all the time, man, I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm excited about Jesus. I'm coming. I didn't used to come on Wednesdays. I used to not come on Sunday. I used to not be participating in church like I am. You know what? That's exciting, right? But you know what hypocrites do? You know what? You know what those Pharisees type? You know what the legalistic ones do? They get mad when people get whole. Did you hear what they said? They were getting whole, but guess what they did? They went away and made a plan how they could kill it. We got to kill him. We got to destroy him. There's real things. You know how messed up you got to be to watch a man who's got a withered hand, all of a sudden he's got two whole hands, and the only thing you come away with from the service is how mad you are at the one that healed him. How in the world do you come to church, walk in here, and walk out madder than you came in? Somebody got saved Sunday. Somebody got baptized Sunday. Somebody joined the church Sunday. Man, we're having to put out extra chairs. Are you finding the good about that? Or do you leave here every time? It's time for a checkup. If that's the case,